This week on The Droids, we're talking about new Obi-Wan casting news, Lego sets, a bunch of new ones, R2-D2, a couple of helmets as well, a VR game that is extending to Part 2, and chapters 34 to 38 of The Light of the Jedi. All that and so much more this week on The Droids. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, I am Mike, and oh, it feels so nice to just have the original core duo.
Finally.
Honestly,
finally.
It's two Jedi Knights running a vector together, right?
Exactly.
I mean, this is the primo edition. We discarded some leftover cargo.
Is this... Oh my gosh, yeah, this isn't the normal feed. This isn't a Patreon exclusive, is it? No, this is, wow, we're doing this for free?
I know, we've been doing the Patreons of the two of us for a while.
Yeah.
And those who are paying for it are really getting the bang for their buck.
But yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah, and you'll get a sense of that today in this free preview edition in the actual feed.
Oh no.
Chris, I don't know though, are we going to offer up some Patreon type content on the new Apple Podcast subscription model?
Oh,
are we
going
to do some special shows
I think
that ask people to pay us a dollar?
I think so, but I think as soon as we start collecting money, we're going to have to call this thing like Galaxy Battles or something. I don't know how much.
Oh yeah, we got to change.
How much we could say the word Star Wars.
You're right. That could be a challenge. But Chris, it is a pleasure to have just the two of us here.
Of course,
you know, this goes back to the early days of the pod, to March of four years
ago. Hundreds of episodes ago.
Yeah, practically.
Almost, yeah.
That's right there. But why don't we dive into these little bits of news before we talk about these chapters that we have to go through with The Light of the Jedi. I say we get to go to. We've had a couple of weeks off over the last few weeks. I think all of us are just proving that adult working lives sometimes get in the way of reading books that we want to read.
It's hard to read on a schedule. I haven't done that.
in a long time.
What is funny, because it's like with Star Wars stuff, you're like, I'll just throw it on while I do something else. And then usually you spend most of your time rewatching Star Wars.
Yeah.
But now this is new content. I should have been all over it. But the reading factor's holding back a little.
You're not alone in that, Chris. But we're excited because we are coming to the conclusion of The Light of the Jedi that will get us there in the next, really this episode and one more episode, and we'll be there. But Chris... Of course, for anybody who wants to follow us, they can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Droids Pod, TikTok, Droids Pod. We went live the other day building some Lego. You can come and check that out. Again, we might do that another time. YouTube, Fallen Order playthrough, Droids Pod. You got to check that out. Email us, droidspod@gmail.com and droidspod.com, the new website. Chris, it is a beaut.
Oh, thank you. Well, we all built it with our content. Sam's wonderful artwork on there. That alone is worth going to and checking out. Download those and print them out. Put them on your wall. They look great.
I gotta ask Sam for those so I can at least create some stickers so I can cover my work laptop with a bunch of these. So whenever we're back in person, people be like, oh, what's that about? Well, listen to this. You know, pull the Back to the Future. Right?
That's good promotion.
That new podcast you're looking for, well, listen to this.
Hey, we got that new sound. You know what? I'll say if any listeners, nobody has Droids Pod stickers. If any listeners want Droids Pod stickers, email us or go to the website. There's a contact form there. Admittedly, I have not checked or showed anyone else how to find that contact form. Go to the website. Drop us a line in the contact form or leave a review and we'll send you a sticker and ask in return that you take a picture of where you put the sticker. Tag something.
Love it.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to put them in a couple places, we'll send you a couple stickers.
There you go.
Yeah. I got a few hanging around. I know we do.
Yeah. We'll send you some stickers. We got them.
All right, Chris. I think the first thing we have to talk about, and this is, you know, a little bit of tidbits here, something we're all going to be doing, new Lego sets. We knew before this week about a Darth Vader helmet, a Scout Trooper helmet, the Imperial Probe Droid set, which is definitely a very difficult build. But we just found out this week that there will be an Ultimate Collector's Edition R2-D2 2300 piece larger scale Lego set that is 18 plus only. So this is really adult, this is about the adult fan.
Adults only. I wonder why that is.
Well, I think they just consider it that challenging, but when you put 18 plus on it, it has a lot of other connotations. Yeah, I know, it just immediately is like what is this droid capable of?
Yeah, exactly. What is this thing? That's amazing. That's incredible. I think Star Wars and Legos have, for a while, I feel like people knew Star... I said Legos. Ryan's going to... I'm going to get kicked off the pod. This is my last episode. Good night, everybody. I feel like Star Wars, Lego... are almost as synonymous with Star Wars at, like, on its own. Like, I think a lot of people were probably introduced to Star Wars through the Lego sets. Yeah. And, like, this kind of thing has been a long time coming. I hope it continues the trend of these kind of, like, higher-end, large builds. Like, I did the Baby Yoda, mm-hmm. Grogu, the child. Some call it A New Hope. I built that, and that was a bit of a challenge. And then we have the helmets. Those are a bit of a challenge. I like these two because they actually have like infrastructure inside of mm-hmm. them. They're not just facades. Like they're very well crafted things, and they're very fun to build.
I love that was probably put as a task to some Lego masters who work, you know, in Denmark. They're like, all right, we've done a lot of Star Wars sets. What can we do that's new? Yeah. And then they started being like, well, we do all these giant scale ones. Why don't we just allow people to have sets to build three-dimensional, you know, portions of it? And that's great. I have one on my desk. I'm definitely going to put R2 up on the shelf. Yeah. They've done a bigger R2 in the past, but it wasn't in this, you know, higher-end collection.
It's kind of a cross between the Lego, like, Technics kind of thing and, like, the traditional Lego. I do like this shift a little more from the play sets to more like they're almost like building models now, which is cool. Kind of a new fun thing if you're a Lego fan.
Well, I can tell you, and Chris, I don't ask me how many boffins died for this, but I've built the Vader Scout Trooper and Probe Droid. That Probe Droid is no joke. It will frustrate you to no end. 18 plus for a reason.
Wow. Yeah,
it is. And not just because it's all the same color,
right?
But a lot of the tiny pieces, and when you're trying to put those Probe Droid arms together, they want to fall apart on you very, very easily. So,
go ahead.
I was say you're just in for a challenge.
I was going to say they're designed to self-destruct, so that's probably why it's so delicate.
Oh, Chris! Yeah. Oh, wow!
Bringing it full circle. Whew.
Can we clip that off and put that somewhere? It's got to be like the best Star Wars joke of the week. Someone's got to be doing
that.
Yeah.
That's what
happens. Best Star Wars jokes of the week's got to be a new Twitter account, right?
That's what happens when you pay for the content. Wait, what? This is free? Oh my goodness. Oh, wow. What are we doing?
Well, check out those sets. R2 will be available on May 1st. I believe April 26th, so by the time you're listening to this podcast, it's already available. You can order Vader as well as Scout Trooper Imperial Probe Droid. I think Lego.com sold out of pre-orders, but that doesn't mean that your other favorite retailer might not have those if you want to get them as well. But check those out. And then other news, there's new Obi-Wan casting news, and we've mentioned the huge cast announcement from, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But news that came out from Maya Erskine, who is in Pen 15, the Hulu series, she's a writer, creator, incredible actress in it, so funny. And now she comes to Star Wars. And at times you're like, I kind of want to just see that same character in Star Wars, but you know she's got more range than that. But it's just weird in my brain that I'm like, oh, what's that going to be like in Star Wars? And she'll do more than that, obviously.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed if she didn't.
I mean, she also has broader work than maybe I've been exposed to.
She's great. I'm very excited for that casting news. I think this is it's a great pick. I always like when you get comedians into the Star Wars realm. I think notably recently, especially like comedians that have such a kind of a defined style and like character work. I think Star Wars is so good with character work. I think on Pen 15, she's playing obviously a version of her younger self, but it's still a character, and I think that's great for the Star Wars world.
Well, we'll be excited to see what she does. And hopefully she has more than just kind of like a single episode appearance. There's times where we all get really excited about these additions. And not that it wasn't nice when Timothy Oliphant was on The Mandalorian, but you almost want to be like, oh, what's this character going to be that's going to have a longer arc? And maybe Oliphant might come back. But I'm hoping for, and you know, the Obi-Wan series is a limited series of only like maybe six episodes. So she wouldn't necessarily have a long time in it, but maybe a multiple episode arc would be cool.
Yeah, I agree. It's only six episodes. Yeah. So Gabe, put her in all six, please.
One other piece of news before we talk about our chapters here is there's a VR game that's came out before for the Oculus Quest 2 from ILM X-Lab. It was Star Wars Tales from Galaxy's Edge. That was apparently part one. And Chris, you'll be glad to know the Guavian Death Gang is in Tales from Galaxy's Edge.
Ooh, really?
Now, I've been do waiting. They bring Conjure Club? We have to, I don't know.
We gotta play and find out. I'm honestly excited about that. I feel like that's like the biggest missed opportunity in recent Star Wars.
Having those gangs be more prominent?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Why aren't there side stories about them?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, they've got something in this game. And in Tales from Galaxy's Edge, you're actually on Batuu, because obviously with Galaxy's Edge, but Batuu. You have R2 and C-3PO. I've been a little hesitant. I want to play this. I don't have an Oculus, but I kind of am intrigued enough to maybe, between this and Vader Immortal, I want to get a VR headset to play these.
Sure.
But I want my first experience at Batuu to be the real deal, not a virtual experience. But maybe it'll be a while before I have that shot, so I guess it might make sense for me to get into this VR version.
Yeah.
And in this, Doc Ondar has a bigger role in part two of the game, which he didn't have in part one. So you actually get to interact with Doc Ondar. R2 is there. C-3PO is there. Yoda is there, voiced by Frank Oz again.
Wow.
Kind of cool that they're going to extend this into a part two.
I like it. I think these VR things, it's funny how like I would call us diehard Star Wars fans, and there's all these like pieces of content that we have not experienced yet, which are great. Like even the Clone Wars recently, we didn't all finish it. I like having something just kind of hanging out there in the Star Wars horizon. I'm sure I'll get to these. It is a commitment though, when you're kind of in isolation with your VR headset on playing these things, like you gotta be ready for it.
Chris, I know I'll finish Clone Wars. Okay.
All right. Subtle jab.
It's kind of funny. I'm desperate to finish it. I'm very excited. The Bad Batch is under 2 weeks away. I can't wait to watch it, and I'm not caught up. I have to be caught up because you can't watch The Bad Batch without knowing what happened to them in season seven, right?
Legally what they say.
Well, I say that, though, and Chris, you bring up an interesting thing that I've thought about lately, and this is a bit of a sidetrack, and you know, bear with me here, Chris.
Do it.
With all of the different Star Wars content that we're talking about, with all the things that we haven't necessarily been able to catch up on or watch so far, or the new things that are being introduced, for those of us who have limited entertainment time, and it's not everyone, because, you know, people who are younger who don't have full-time jobs, and, you know, people who have more free time just in general, they can watch and keep up with everything and also experience a lot of other stuff. I found myself, as I try to catch up on Clone Wars and Jedi Fallen Order and watch and read High Republic and be interested in the other stuff that's coming out, I've realized that a lot of my entertainment time has been only Star Wars. And as Disney Plus continues to proliferate and we get more and more series, the 10 series, you could theoretically only experience one kind of entertainment if you didn't have that much time. If you have an hour or two each night and maybe a little bit of time on the weekend, and you're trying to read every book, you're trying to read the comic books, you're trying to play the video games, you're trying to watch the series, you could live in one world of entertainment. I'm not saying that you will, because people want variety, but it's interesting to me as I found myself trying to catch up, and obviously we have a Star Wars podcast, so we talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm like, only thing I've done today outside of work and spend time with my family was Fallen Order a little bit and reading High Republic and watching Clone Wars. And wait, I haven't entertained myself in any other way but Star Wars. Yeah.
I've only watched these movies that I've watched 1,000 times. You know what? I feel like I should watch this again. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think that's probably the vision of the last 10 years of Star Wars is to be like, if you're a Star Wars fan, you can read, watch, listen, smell, taste, hear whatever you need to Star Wars and live in that world. So, I mean, I agree. It can be overwhelming at times, but sometimes it's great.
Chris, what smells can I experience of Star Wars? Is this like a Star Wars toy smell?
I'm thinking fried tip-yip.
There it is. There it is, the tip-yip. Yep. Oh, man. We have to get at least a video of you indulging in a tip-yip when we all get to Galaxy's Edge.
That's the Patreon content.
All right. Well, on that note, let's talk about the High Republic, Light of the Jedi, chapters 34 to 38. And, you know, things have been progressing. We have to say as we start this, actually, Chris, a little bit of a faux pas on our part. Ooh. You know, I don't know if faux pas is said in Star Wars, but I would imagine it's got to be, right? Know. We've been saying the Nihil, and it is the Nile. We have been wrong.
The Nile.
Like nihilism, like we thought about early on.
Yeah.
I believe we had a listener who told us it was something different, and damn that listener. No, I'm kidding.
That's the way to keep them.
Hey, you know, that's why they pay the Patreon bucks.
Right.
But so it is the Nile. And coming into these five chapters that we read, this is the beginning of the hunt for the Nile from the Republic, from Chancellor So.
Yeah, and that was also gathered from listening to the audiobook, because it's easier than reading.
Chris, tell us more about your audiobook experience.
It's great. I will say that I listen to these chapters on double speed. And you'll find some areas upcoming here that'll have some emphasis that probably did not get the justice they deserved.
Does hyperspace and the paths and the jumping and all of that just seem even more disorienting that you're on double speed?
Yes, it absolutely does.
Well, we begin chapter 34 in No Space, the Great Hall of the Nile. I'm going to say Nihil, I'm sure, again, and make a mistake. But we got Martian Rowe. He's starting to lay down the law with his Tempest Runners, with Kasav, Panetta, and Laura D, and letting them know about the next steps as they find out from their informant, the spy with Senator Noor, about what's happening, how the Republic is going to come and hunt them down, with the Jedi bring the full force, full weight of everything the Republic has, all the Republic at once, bringing it down on the Nile. And this is where things get a little dicey for good boy Kasav. Loses a hand, classic Star Wars move. Yeah, punch to the face.
It's gonna happen.
And Martian Rowe really sets the tone and gives them their paths forward. Paths in the sense of path to get somewhere, and then also,
and he has control of the paths. Yes,
but he's. This kind of Kasav's ready to bail and say, why do we need to even keep going? Let's just change our names and get out of here.
Right.
And he makes it clear, no, we'll solve this. You go get the flight recorder. You go help out at Elfrana, Laura Nadine, and save everybody and get things back to the way they should so we can have some money off the ransom. But what'd you think of Martian Rowe just sort of taking over? I mean, he's already in the lead, but just like this is the first time he's ever really enforced his leadership.
Well, I mean, I think in earlier chapters, they kind of mentioned how the, what's his title? Is it the Seer?
The Eye.
The Eye, yes, the Eye. But the Seer is from something.
It is definitely from something.
Yeah, it's like the Giver or something. the Eye is supposed to be kind of this apolitical figure in the Nihil society, right? And he's not supposed to take a side. So for him to take charge at this moment, is he seizing opportunity, or does he kind of see the actual end in sight? Like, is he taking control of his power, or does he have another game that he's playing?
Yeah. It's well, and they kind of set that up, though, because it seems like he, at least so far, is trying to keep everything together, but then we get a hint as to what he has to offer, because we found out about his end game earlier on in the book, that he had some sort of other thing that could help him win battles. And before the end of these five chapters, we find out what that is. But I like how he's kind of like setting them up and like, hey, I'll give you what you need when you need it. Even though Kasav doesn't really believe him and seems like he feels like he's being set up for something. But it's interesting. That's kind of the heart of chapter 34.
Yeah. He's kind of giving everyone almost their last, like Martian's kind of like, I'm going to take this into my own hands now because I have the power. Here's your last chance, everyone. You're either with me or against me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. we go back to Elfrana in chapter 35. We're with Bell, good old Bell Zedifar, and right away we know what has been building up throughout the entire book. And it's at that moment, because we had heard about how the Nile, who were trying to escape with the Blythe family, were going to jettison one of the children to try to get away and distract the Jedi. And at that moment, Loudon says, time for you to go, save the child, get out of here, and tells him he believes in him. And that's it, that he has to jump. And he's out.
Right.
And he has never been able to stop himself from falling.
Right.
And especially from whatever height this height that seems to be almost up into space when he does make the jump to save the little girl.
This is the Red Bull space jump of force jumps right now.
If they ever do that again, just dress him up in a Jedi Knight robe.
Yeah, put him in a robe. Yeah, the key to the little door can be the lightsaber. Yeah, no, they set this up in the earlier chapters where they kept testing him and he couldn't stand on his own 2 feet, basically.
Mm-hmm. And it was kind of lovely to watch him figure it out and like let go the way that most of them need to let go. The Jedi,
right.
Kind of what we've seen throughout all of Star Wars.
Yes.
And just him connecting to the Force in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he relaxes. He then comes to almost like this gentle lull that they come and land on the ground and everything seems fine. The wind quiets down and they just barely are 10 meters from the ground. And they drift downward, as they say, like a leaf.
Yep.
And then he's safe and they're safe. And Balin is the daughter that he ends up saving, and he does his job. And it's very rewarding. It's just rewarding when we've been along the ride with him and we like him as a character. And he seemed, I think in a book versus a movie, maybe because, to be honest, I watch more movies than I read books, even though I read a lot as well.
Yeah.
It was telegraphed, but it also just didn't feel as telegraphed.
No.
Because early on, you're like, is this just a thing that they're using to represent how far he has to go from a Padawan to a knight?
Right.
And then they bring it in and it works.
Yeah. I mean, it became a literal device. I also like, you mentioned how he had to kind of let go and stop thinking and feel the Force. I think Star Wars, that's like a Star Wars gift. Like,
yeah,
in any medium of Star Wars, there's always that moment, and somehow they translate it to the audience so well, and they did a very good job of this book, where it's like you stop thinking, you stop feeling, and then you just become one. Like, I can't think of any other mediums where, like, the fog kind of lifts, and you as an audience member or a reader, you feel almost that weight relieved, and you're like, oh, he's gonna save her. Like, They did such a good job with that in this book of like translating that visual representation of feeling. I always think of like in The Last Jedi, how like when Rey finally starts to get the Force, that kind of thing, where she starts that feeling like that, the kind of montage-y bit, like that was translated in this book really, really masterfully. And I appreciate that detail to that thematic element of Star Wars.
Chris, it's one of the things I think I take from Star Wars back personally is like, if I can get out of my own way, if I can get out of my head, if I can disconnect from all the rest of this and just relax, focus on what's really important, then, you know, Star Wars in itself can be the direction and the metaphor I need to think about the way I approach my own life.
Exactly. Yeah. And to have that moment coupled with him literally falling to his doom, like it's highly effective.
We then reach an interlude, which this is mostly just an introduction of a character. Is that how you took it, Chris?
Yes. It was kind of almost an aside for something else that's growing.
Yeah. Jorah Molly, we find out about her, a member of the Jedi Council, who is going to be running the Starlight Beacon. It's almost like her retirement, but she's going to help with the Padawans. And then they kind of make a discussion about how the Jedi will or will not intervene. Will they support what's going on with trying to track down the Nile, or are they going to stay out of it? The council has varying opinions, but then the vote comes down to Jorah Molly, and she believes that the answer is clear, that because of how many people they killed and how much light they've snuffed out in the galaxy, that the Jedi do have to intervene and be involved.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of interesting, because I think this kind of adds a little dust to the polish that is the New Republic. I think they're kind of like saying, what is military action? Is this really what we're doing? Like, I feel like the Jedi are a little bit more realistic in this little interlude. They're kind of like, there's kind of that debate of, well, we had to do it because it was military and this was our, this was the only option. And I think like some Jedi might be waiting for that situation. And they're kind of getting into that dynamic of like, are we peacekeepers? Are we an army waiting to be summoned? Like that kind of thing, which I thought was cool. Like I never really, in the prequels, you don't quite get that. Because they're kind of almost burning out as we started on that.
Mm-hmm.
People are starting to lose a little faith in them. But in this, they're even kind of questioning their role themselves at this time. And they reference predecessors. And I thought the mention of the Sith War was very cool. Like, that's a new detail. Like, that's cool. So the Sith were pre this time period even.
Chris, I'm so glad that you brought that up. It makes me be like, are we eventually going to see the Sith War as its own book, comic book series, augmented reality game?
Right.
Yeah. They could do anything.
Yeah. We see a young Sheev.
The tale of Darth Plagueis finally.
Yeah, finally. It's going to happen. We all know it's going to happen.
You know what? You're right. And the thing that's going to happen is that it's going to be in one series, one of these spin-off series.
Yeah.
It'll be like a season finale.
Yep.
They'll end up walking through some sort of cave, and in the cave, you'll hear the voice of, and Chris, you do it best.
Have you heard the tale of Darth Plagueis?
And then just like the crowd will erupt, fade to black. And,
yeah.
Because that's basically what Disney is doing now. It's like, do you know a thing? Well, we're going to make a reference to it.
And then that's what that space opera that they're watching will be based on. I thought another scenario would be that he's at like a guard booth and they're like, you're a plague. What's your name? We're going to call you Plagueis.
That's perfect. That is exactly the way it will go down. I honestly still don't mind that scene. I agree with everyone.
I think it's
a terrible
great
way for him to have his name
be
chosen.
How else is he going to get it?
I love Alden's perspective and like the look on his face as he's like, I don't have any people. That's great.
Yeah, he's solo.
It shouldn't be his name the way he got his name. But
right.
Because it's just it's too on the nose.
It's
but
very
I appreciate
much on the nose. I like it. Yeah. By the way, if you watch that on Disney Plus, let me know if any other listeners have the same experience. You can't see it. The HDR is so dark.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Try it out. Maybe it's just my TV, but the other movies don't look like that.
Yeah, well, that is, what was it? Bradford Young was a cinematographer, but that's not his fault if it's being displayed that way. He did a lot of darkness in the movie, but it looked
that's
really
true.
Good in the
Yeah, field. No, it looked good. I remember it looking great. I remember when I could see it, it was like, this looks nice.
Make Solo 2 happen. We all
know.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're all part of it.
Yep. We'll put that hashtag on here. It's worthy of it.
So we're into part 3, The Storm, as we start off here in chapter 36. And we're in the Outer Rim, and this is where we spend a lot of time with our man, Kossiv, as he's thinking through his next steps, how he wants to abandon everything. They're almost ready to leave, start his own new thing that he calls, instead of the storm, the fire. He'll have sparks and ignition and whatever else. He's making his own version of the Nile.
Yeah.
And that's when they get cut off by the Republic, not fleet, but the Republic Defense Coalition, as well as a Jedi overall ship that is along with it, which has all the vectors. What was the name of the... I can't remember what that was.
I'm looking it up, yeah.
Oh, Ataraxia.
Yes.
Yeah. That giant Jedi ship, command authority ship where they're getting set up for their battle. But this is kind of just putting the pieces in place before the actual battle begins. And Kossiv's asking for a lot of help from Marshy and Roe, but still doesn't hear anything. But good old Wet Bub's going to weigh in and help out here.
The Bub last name in Star Wars is great. Who else is? There's another. Was it Fortuna?
Is there? Oh.
Isn't it Bub Fortuna or something?
No, it's Bib.
Bib Fortuna, right?
Yep.
Just the double B. Star Wars characters are great. Also, a Gungan, right?
Yeah, you're right. He's a Gungan.
He the voice in the audiobook, I believe it's the same guy doing all the voices, and all credit to him. He's going for it, though. I was taken aback a little bit when I heard a Gungan. I was like, what is this? It was very cartoony, but I get it. I'm not Gungan hating here. I like it. I was surprised to hear it.
I wish that I could hear it myself. You'll have to send me a recording of it, Chris. Or do you want to just do your own impression right now?
No, I don't. It was a fun reveal. I feel like reading it would have been better than listening to it. But because when you hear the thing like the Gungan grinned, you're like, oh, wait a second. We're talking to a Gungan here. This is crazy.
Yeah. That's awesome. We get the Wreck Punk is ready to rock as the Nile are going to get into their battle.
Also, like a little on the nose with the kind of cyberpunk stuff.
A little bit. It's been that case throughout the book.
Yeah, that's all right. It's sci-fi. It's okay.
But then we're back in Elfrana and Loud and Great Storm in chapter 37. They're still trying to take down the Nile, who have the two remaining Blys, the father and son, as the mother is down on the planet with our good buddy, the classic Jedi, I guess I would say. And then Bell has saved the daughter. But there's a great moment. This is Loudon speaking to Bell and just deeming him a Jedi Knight. He's done it. This is it.
He
has to go through the council.
Sure.
What a beautiful moment that happened between those two.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what I was a little surprised it happened this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was a great moment. And I do like that he was like, the council hasn't said it. Like, he's still kind of humble about it. He's not like, he didn't get arrogance or anything. He kind of was like, well, we'll see. But then Loudon's like, don't call me master anymore.
Now, Chris, I don't know if you felt this way, but when it goes with not until the council declares it and I want you there when it happens, may it be the force with you.
Yep.
It is, Bell. Don't worry. See you soon.
Yeah. I think we all know what that means.
Oh, boy.
When in Star Wars has a master or just a newly appointed non-master said goodbye and see you later? When has that ever worked out?
But it's you know, it's funny. It's too bad. Just we barely got to know Loudon, but we loved his approach and his characterization in this. But we've only read through chapter 38. There's nothing happened to him yet. But the end of chapter 37, he is in a bad spot because
we're going in. Yeah, I'm only up to chapter. I finished 37 or no 38, right? Yeah, we read the 38.
Yep.
Whatever we read to this one, that's as far as I am. So
yeah, so we don't know what's going to happen to him.
Yeah.
But at the end of 37 is when he is surrounded by additional Niles ships that jump out of hyperspace, and it's just him and the other Jedi. They're basically right up against the Niles ship with this maneuver he'd been doing. It just seems unlikely. They're even kind of pointing to it in just the way they're describing it is like the odds are insurmountable for them, even as two Jedi, to be facing up against this many vessels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, never tell them the odds.
But they don't have C-3PO. They don't even have a droid with them. These Jedi don't travel with droids.
It's true. It's true. Well, they used them all to build they spliced them all together.
Spliced them all. Yeah, exactly. The Navidroid would be there to tell
the Navidroid array.
If they needed it.
Yeah.
Well, here's holding out hope. Let's hang on to some sort of optimism that maybe Loudon's got a shot. On the other hand, we met Jorah Molly in that interlude. And did you get a 2 days till retirement vibe? Did you get a little bit of Lethal Weapon?
Yes, I did.
And that kind of proves to be the case here in chapter 38. At least the end of it is where we don't learn her fate, but she has sort of disappeared off the map. But this is the battle commencing in deep space in the Kerr Nebula, where there's some great moments in this, Chris. You know, we get a little bit of the back and forth. We get, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Skeers, Seaskier is the other Jedi who's close with Jorah Molly.
Yeah.
They're all kind of watching the battle. Things are going well initially, but then the Nile decide they're going to play dirty.
Yes.
And that was kind of, you know, launching out escape pods that ended up having bombs in them to take out part of the Republic fleet. It seemed like they were, you know, also what, they let out some like oil or some sort of leftover exhaust portions that lit on fire and destroyed a bunch of Skywings from the Republic fleet. Skywing is something new that I don't think has been mentioned earlier in the book.
No, I was looking through there. They mentioned a lot of ships in this, I believe. And I'm trying to find the, that Jedi's name also. Skeer.
Skeer? S-S-K-E-E-R? Skeer?
Yes. Skeer. Right,
well, Skeer and Jorah, and then also followed by Elzer Mann, Stellan Geos, Nib Asik, and Padawan Wookiee Buriaga and Mikkel Sutmani. As well, Avar Chris is connecting everybody hearing the Song of the Force, so she's still connecting all the Jedi. So this big battle is still got a lot of, effort from the Jedi. I believe it made the Commander Krennara feel a little bit more comfortable that they had the Jedi there and working in that way. But they also had the Eridu and the Eriduan ships that arrived and kind of were just sitting there imposing. They weren't doing anything. They're just like, we're about to attack you. Just be nervous.
Exactly. Now, is this when the ships come out of hyperspace, right?
Well, so that was at the end of the last time that we saw Kossiv, and now they're all blocked in, and when they think that they have an exit, they don't have an exit, because then other ships come out of hyperspace. But that's when Martian Rowe says that he's got something that no matter what, they're going to win the day. And what that thing is essentially new paths or a new way to use the paths that allows them to jump in hyperspace in small distances. So they can just appear and reappear and make it incredibly difficult for anybody to hunt them down. And at this point, they appear into the drift of vectors of the Jedi, destroying many Jedi ships.
Yes.
Including what appears to be Jorah Mali, because our Trandoshan Jedi, which was kind of cool. They talked about how the Trandoshan never give Jedi, basically. They see the Padawans, or they don't ever turn them over, who are force ready because they're such a vicious planet and vicious creatures. And Skeer is actually one who is a Trandoshan who has an issue, loses his arm, but it will grow back. Unfortunately, he can no longer feel or longer sense Jorah Mali, and that might have been the end of good old Jorah, which, you know, running Starlight Beacon in retirement, cushy gig, and this happens? Yeah. Not fair.
I had one more day, Riggs. Wait, who is it? I don't know. Is it Riggs?
Because Murtaugh's the one saying it.
Yeah, exactly.
But so we're left kind of in the middle of that battle. We don't know how it plays out as we've gotten, we're not into chapter 39 yet, but at the end of 38, the Nile have now had exhausted what seemed like all of their efforts against the Republic fleet, even though they had taken down a lot of ships, until Martian Rowe gave them this new ability. And Chris, when I was reading this, I thought, are they going to introduce something that cannot be repeated? Because obviously if this was an ability in hyperspace, we would have seen it later on in Star Wars.
Correct. Sorry about that. I had to let my cat out the door.
Or did you let your cat jump through hyperspace?
Yeah, exactly. She's jumping in and out of hyperspace right now. Say that again. Is this a new ability in Star Wars?
With this new ability, being that this is the High Republic, the timeline we know.
Yeah.
Clearly this must be something that can't be replicated that we know of. Because it doesn't show up in any other part of Star Wars. And that must be part of the challenge of writing this, is they have to come up with things that can be contained.
Well, I mean, I think even the plot device of like The Last Jedi with like kind of the hyperspace tracking and all that stuff. And then they kind of address that in The Rise of Skywalker about how you can't do the hyperspace missile technique too often because it's like your odds are low or whatever. But I think this might be one of those kind of things that he found an opportunity to use his ability to know the paths and like, hey, we could try this and it worked. Like, I think it's just something they did that would work.
Yeah, but I think it was the Nile ships had moved. They'd shifted. All of them at once were in one place and then they were in another. They didn't move as one, but in separate jolts and lunges, disappearing and reappearing in varying distances from their original position is the way they describe it. So I wonder what the term eventually will be in Star Wars lore for it. Because it's not hyperspace skipping like we found out in The Rise of Skywalker.
Hyperspace zigzagging? Hyperzagging?
I think that sounds about right.
I don't know. I don't know. Now, boy, now this is why hyperspace this is the free. Skittering. Skittering.
Well, but
that's
that
why this
us...
isn't Patreon.
Yeah, that's why. That's why it didn't reach the level of
we
would have money.
Prepped. We would have prepped this.
We would have come up with a funny idea.
Yeah.
Here we are. I mean, Chris, I just count on you for that.
Hey, I'm just here to let the cat in and out.
But that ends our five chapters for this week. We will be back for more. But Chris, as we come to our epic conclusion, you know, we kind of alluded to maybe Loudon's not long. Maybe Jorah Molly is the one they're going to sacrifice and Loudon might survive. Do you think that good is going to win here in the end of this book? Or are we going to be left for the cliffhanger? I don't know. Are they starting with an Empire Strikes Back?
I was going to say, I think if we're following Star Wars logic, we're going to end with a win with a but. We're gonna see the who's the master, who's the apprentice discussion. We're gonna get a peek into maybe this new republic is not just one republic. I think that's how it's gonna end. I don't think we're gonna end with pure tragedy. I think we're gonna end with a notion to what may be wrong.
Got it. Yeah, that seems fair, especially as we know the next book is on its way. We know that they're building out larger stories within the High Republic for the foreseeable future. So that seems that also it kind of follows the mold of the TV and movies now, because we're getting these cliffhangers and these setups and hey, here's some payoff like you see in Marvel, but also we'll give you a post-credit script.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta say, this has been just as satisfying as watching or playing any other Star Wars property that sounds so Star Wars thing that I've experienced. Like, this has been great, and I feel like I've not always had that experience with the books. I know people adore them and love them, and I think that's amazing, but this is one that I've really truly enjoyed so far.
I'm right there with you. But if you're looking for another cold, detached word to describe property, just call it content.
Oh, yeah. Star Wars content.
Content. This has been, you know, really an awakening for me that Star Wars books could be this good. I know there are a lot of other ones that have varying levels of returns, and we've all tried to read some of them and haven't moved forward. But I'm pretty committed to continuing this story. You know, we'd love to hear from the listeners. Did you like us going in chapter blocks, or would you like us to do one, maybe two episodes just about the books when they come out? We don't necessarily have to go into each of this, but let us know, because we had fun going through all of this, and we still have the last part to read. But happy to hear listeners' thoughts and you know, we'll
shorten
tailor
it, up,
it to
maybe,
you.
Yeah. Let us know if you like us at all.
You'll get a sticker.
Exactly.
Actually, Chris, I'm not kidding. We need to talk to Sam about stickers for those pieces of art he created, because they're beautiful.
Sam promises every listener a sticker. He just texted me.
So
old Sam or new Sam? We don't know.
But new Sam is going to send baseball stickers if that's the case.
That'd be
great. We will have another interview with new Sam at some point. It's been a challenge scheduling, but we will bring him back.
That's the bonus content throughout the year. Those are the surprise and delight. That's our mission.
We're always surprising and delighting here on the droids. So Chris, we'll wrap up this edition of the pod. Sticking just to the two of us going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think it works. I think it's what we originally set out, and then we got a little distracted.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? Let's just call this episode 5. I think that's, I think we stopped being you and I at 4. Let's just call this 5.
Yeah, I think you're right. Episode 5. Thanks for joining. This has been the Droid You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Tune in next week for episode 6. What they
wrote. Annie?
You boys want to go to the nebula?